In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Realizing that many of you probably have brains that work somewhat like mine, if you have thought of somebody that you would like to remember this day by lighting a candle that you didn't get to do at the opening hymn, please feel free to come forward now or in the midst of the service to do so. I promise you will not be a distraction to me during the sermon. And I'm not responsible for everybody else's response. So you can pay attention to me or pay attention to candle lighting. They are equally valid on this day of celebration. Many of you know that swimming is by far and away my favorite athletic endeavor, since I am not an athletic person by any stretch of the imagination. But if the truth be told, my favorite part of swimming comes after I've done all of the requisite laps for the day, and I simply lay back and float on my back for as long as it seems possible to do. It helps a lot that I have a body type that floats easily. I know that that is not true for everybody. But more significantly for me, every time I lay back on the water, I remember my dad, one of those significant small s, as opposed to the big s saints that the church remembers. My dad taught me how to float as so many parents do, by holding me up with five fingers under my back and slowly taking one finger away to the point that I was floating all on my own. I keep that at the front of my memory of my father, of dear blessed memory. But 5 years ago, when I was in the midst of a very challenging time in my life, I increased that memory to think about God being the one holding me up in that water, to imagine for a brief period of time that I could truly rest because God was supporting me. Now I'm taking that vision one step farther and imagining that it is the whole communion of saints joining with God in the swimming pool as I lay back and float. All of those saints of God supporting me in my journey at this time. This is my own personal version of what it is that we say and do every time that we gather to celebrate the Eucharist. In most of our Eucharistic prayers, unfortunately not in the one that we are using currently, the sentence that I say immediately before singing the Sanctus, the Holy, 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 says something about joining with the whole company of heaven to sing that hymn. My favorite version is what we say in Eucharistic Prayer C, page 370 of the Book of Common Prayer, if you want to look it up, where we say, "Therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn." One of the other small s saints in my life was Joe Russell, a priest and Christian educator in the Diocese of Ohio, who suggested that rather than closing our eyes and bowing our heads during that part of the prayer and the singing of the Sanctus, that we should instead be looking up and all around us so that we don't miss that heavenly chorus that surrounds us. The saints, after all, are with us all the time, but they are especially close to us when we gather at Christ's table. It is a thin place, as the Celts would put it. It's that place where heaven and earth come especially close, and we're transported to a different realm. We need to remember this from time to time, and All Saints is the feast every year, when we have the opportunity to turn our attention to this important concept of our theological life. We need to remember that all those who have looked to God in hope whom we see no longer, are still with us. They're still teaching us and prodding us, cheering and crying with us, supporting and loving us. As Henri Nouwen put it, you have to trust that every true friendship has no end, that a communion of saints exists among all those, living and dead, who have truly loved God and one another. You know from experience how real this is. Those you have loved deeply and who have died live on in you, not just as memory, but as real presences. We also need to look around and realize that there are saints among us right here. We are blessed to live in a community of saints, that communion of saints that we join through our baptism and who, through our faithfulness, make it easier to believe that we are part of a host of saints that we may not be able to see on a regular basis. It's kind of like an iceberg in which we only see a small part of that communion above the surface, but know that there is a large unseen portion of that community underneath. We'll add to our motley crew of St. James saints this morning as we welcome those who are new among us, who wish to make a public commitment of their desire to share in the mission and ministry of this part of Christ's body. We all need to remember, though, that being part of that community of saints is not an easy calling. It's much more than pretending to be holy when we gather together on Sunday mornings. It's about how we live the other 166 or so hours of the week. Or if you delete the hours in which you're sleeping and probably not struggling too much to love your neighbor, it's down to about 110 to 115 hours per week when we have to figure out how we are going to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse us, and pray for those who abuse us. That's hard, hard work, but harder for some than for others. And it can most definitely only be done with God's help, as we say in responding to the challenging commitments of the baptismal covenant. The most saintly, those big S saints throughout time which the church remembers, and the small S saints of our own lives, are those who embraced that call of Jesus and embraced the attributes we hear in today's gospel. None of the saints were or are perfect. None has ever succeeded in loving unconditionally, in always turning the other cheek, but we know that some come closer to than others. What the saints, the large S and the small S saints, share is the recognition that the values of this world, the values of those who are in power, the values of those with substantial resources are not necessarily the values of the gospel. Embracing those values are self-centered and individualistic rather than building up the body of Christ. The woes that follow the blesseds in this morning's gospel reading are a warning to all of us who want to live more fully into the sainthood which comes through baptism. We all need to be prepared for the time that will surely come, if it hasn't already, when we are unable to provide for all of our own needs, when we long to be fed in body, mind, or spirit, when we suffer unbearable loss, when we embrace unpopular causes, or end up in any number of other positions in which we are forced to rely on God and the community of saints to support us. The hymn that we sang right before the gospel, "I Sing a Song of the Saints of God," is one much beloved among longtime Episcopalians. and one which those who are newer to the Episcopal Church justifiably ask, why in the world are we singing about tea and trains? You need to know that I am a lifelong Episcopalian who loves this hymn, so get used to singing it every year. It is such a charming tune that it does make it seem that being a saint is as easy as simply showing up for daily life. Yet the text does allude to a number of those big S saints through the history of the church who did follow God faithfully, and for some did lead to them being killed because of their faith. Being a saint is not easy, and the last line of the hymn is absolutely true. The saints of God are just folk like me, and with God's help and the support of all of the saints of God, living and dead, we too can grow more fully into being a saint too. Amen.